Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO and GM of JobsandME.com, filling in for Dave Chulo, and we have a great show for you today. We're talking with Tim Leet and Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. Welcome to the show, Tim and Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about the Maine Association of Retirees.
Well, let me start by saying that my name is Tim Leet, and I am the president of the Maine Association of Retirees. I got involved because, believe it or not, my dad is one of the founding fathers of the association. He started this association. He's a founding father, and about 39 years ago, 1980, got involved and said, I think we ought to start an organization to represent retirees. And so it all came together. And so I got involved about 4 or 5 years ago, and I thought it was a nice opportunity for me to kind of give back to the organization. So then I got involved, you know, moved up the ladder, and now I am president of the organization.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Does the Maine Association of Retirees represent all retirees, or who does it really represent?
It represents all those people that actually get a check from the Maine State Retirement System. So if you are a retiree that receives a check from Maine, it's called Maine PERS, then you're eligible to join our organization.
Okay.
And to pay dues, we charge a whopping $2 per month or $24 per year to join our organization, and we utilize those funds. So that gives us a budget of approximately $340,000 a year, annual budget.
Oh, great. So how many members do you currently have?
We currently have about 14,000 members.
That's a great. So some people might call 14,000 of retirees a good voting block.
Yes.
Companies can call it a great pool of talent if they're really smart enough, right? And think about reaching out to the Maine Association of Retirees. And Diane, how did you get involved with the Maine Association of Retirees?
Well, I had a Maine state government career. I had about 40 years in Maine state government, and the organization I was working for, the funding went away, so I retired. I was retirement age. And again, I wasn't ready to actually retire. I wanted to work a few more years, and this opportunity was advertised in the paper. I knew the executive director. I used to work in the same department that she did and so forth. And then I looked at the mission of the organization, and I've always, in many of my positions, I worked with the public. And I wanted to continue to do that. So 5 years ago, I was hired at the association and have been there ever since and still plan on working a few more years with the organization.
Oh, fantastic. So both of you focus purely on working with the Maine Association of Retirees, or do you have other initiatives that you do outside of the organization?
Well, both of us have other initiatives. In addition to, I work at the organization 30 hours a week. And then I'm also, I volunteer. I'm the treasurer for the Vassaburil Food Pantry, which is a very important entity in the town. It services a couple of hundred families monthly. And then, you know, I have my other outside interests. I like to golf, cross-country ski, garden, and so forth, as time allows.
Oh, well, that sounds like, it sounds to me like you have more than one commitment. And
yes, many more than one commitment.
As I think of companies, I always think if you're going to give them 30 hours a week, that's a lot. That's a lot. So I think we'll touch on that topic as we move further. And Tim, what are some things that you do outside of being involved as the president of the Maine Association of Retirees?
Well, what's interesting is I am a volunteer, so I don't get paid. I get expenses occasionally, but basically $25 per month for per meeting. We have monthly meetings. But no, I am volunteering and providing as much service as I can to our retirees.
Oh, that's great.
And what's interesting is that my background, I worked for the Maine legislature for about 26 years. So we actually have some legislation that we've drafted and will be coming up this coming session. And so I get involved and testify and go to work sessions, and I help monitor the legislature and a lot what they do. And so that keeps me pretty active. So I'm pretty busy guy.
Well, I hope you weren't looking at my notes, because that was really going to be my next question to you, which was, you know, what are some initiatives that you are putting in front of the legislature in support of Maine retirees?
Okay, well, we have a bill that it's submitted for this coming session. And Representative Dunphy of the Appropriations Committee is going to be the sponsor. And it's a bill that actually protects our COLA. And so COLA is a cost of living adjustment. And so it's important that we protect our COLA as much as we can. So the whole idea is that this protection, it goes into Title V and protects our COLA. And it tells the legislature that, one, we want the legislature to support our COLA, but also it's a protected status. So it actually would not allow the legislature to go after those funds. If ever there was a shortfall or anything, it's a protected status. And that's very important to our members. Because I don't know if you're aware, but back in 2011, our COLA was frozen for 3 years. And so that meant that we got no COLA for 3 straight years. And it really hit our members hard. So this legislation would protect our COLA and not allow the legislature to go after those funds.
So it's interesting, without a cost of living adjustment that's commensurate with inflation and cost of living in general in any community, senior citizens or retirees of sorts have to go out and find some other outside source of income. I'm a wholeheartedly big advocate of the cost of living adjustment that you're proposing. I think it's wonderful. I also think that this offers an opportunity for a conversation as we go further down in the program around how senior citizens or retirees can leverage the workforce to augment their incomes in a way that's both positive and generates substantially more than what would a COLA be if they were part of the workforce. Because an awful lot of employees that would pay for the talent that's available in organizations like yours. Unlike years past where people think, oh, you know what, somebody retired but they're no longer available to work, people are now retiring and saying, you know what, if I'm not relevant and I'm not active, I'm no longer part of society. And being part of society is an important fact of longevity and happiness. So,
exactly.
Is there a database of information and resources that you have on members, like i.e. experience or skills or type of, do you keep track of any of that information for the people that are members of your organization?
We have limited information. We would like to be able to approach people prior to retirement. Our information comes from Maine PERS, the retirement system. We get a monthly file from them, and it has the person's name, their address, where they retired from, which means whether they were a state retiree, an educator, or a municipal worker, a judge, a legislator, you know, that type of information. Very general, very basic. And then we use that information to reach out to them and send them a letter asking if they'd like to enroll in the Maine Association of Retirees, tell them a little bit about what we do, the benefits that we offer, and so forth. And we reach out to them several times to do that. But as far as any other information until they actually become a member, you know, it's very basic general information. I mean, you know, we obviously, if you've got a teacher, you know, we don't know the teaching background, but we know, you know, that they probably have spent a number of years in that field and that, you know, they would be possibly good to recruit for some other positions, their, you know, their experience and so forth. The state, it does say state, a lot of these people, because of Tim and I have both worked in state government for so long, you know, we recognize names and so forth. We know that they retired from the Department of Transportation or the Department of Corrections. You know, so we do know, you know, we glean whatever type of information we can, but it's very limited initially.
Well, I mean, reading both your bios and reading yours in particular and thinking about some of the things that because, 80% of businesses in Maine are small businesses, right? And thinking some of the help that these businesses need in some areas are around the idea of benefits and benefits management and payroll and HR services. And with somebody like your experience, Diane, as an example, you could be an asset. And if there's more of you within the organization, then they're an asset to the state and an advantage to the state as opposed to a burden on the state, which is what most people perceive as retirees, which I don't believe that, right? When I think of educators, I think of training managers.
Mm-hmm.
I think of people educating within an organization, not just educating in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Almost think of it as you were in the military at one point and you leave the service and now you have to translate your skills from state work or military work to civilian life. And that's something that I think we have to continue to think about.
Diane is an excellent example of one who has a lot of knowledge as far as dealing with health insurance, Medicare, major issues that our members are dealing with. And you can't imagine the expertise that she has, and it amazes me. And so we're lucky enough to have her as a staff person. So when we go out to our regional meetings and she does she provides a presentation on Medicare and the problems that our members are dealing with. It's amazing, her broad knowledge of the subject matter. She does a great job.
Well, I tell you what, if there was an opportunity for us to figure out a way to work together and unearth more of this great talent within the Maine Association of Retirees, I think it would be amazing, because right now this state in particular is really hungry for great people. And I always think of it as, you already live here. You've made this choice years ago. You're a flexible employee for all intents and purposes. You don't need 40 hours. You may need 20. So however many hours the work gets done. So there's lots of things that we can, that I think that makes Maine retirees a big advantage for the state.
Well, if I could mention, the other thing is our organization, the Maine Association of Retirees, we have a staff of 7 people. Pretty much part-time employees. And the services that we provide, I think, are it's a model. And 7 part-time people, budget of $340,000. And the services, the expertise, it's pretty amazing what we put together. So I think it's a good thing.
And if I'm correct, it's a 4-day work week, right?
It is a 4-day work week. But, compared to other organizations, they are part-time. Most employees work like 20 hours a week, and our executive director and office manager puts in more hours, but it's still part-time. And so, I really like that concept and of what we're providing, given that pretty much everyone's part-time, more or less.
What do you think is the number of members who have other jobs or take on other jobs afterwards?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because about 3 years ago now, we did a survey. Our executive director belonged to the board of the Maine Coalition on Aging, and they were researching this very particular issue about seniors returning to work and so forth. So we did a telephone survey. We randomly selected 300 people out of our membership under the age of 82. And had, about 5 questions for them. One of them, would you work if you aren't presently working, would you be interested in returning to work if you could be, have a flexible job or have a project position, et cetera, and so forth. If you're presently working, what are you doing now? If you do not want to return to work, do you have other commitments and so forth? And the response that we got from the majority of these retirees were that they're already working. They are taking care of family members due to illness, whatever. Or they're now taking care of grandchildren, whatever. There were very few out of the ones that we contacted that are doing absolutely nothing. Many of them were volunteering. So the majority of them were doing something. But they would be interested, if approached, possible, you know, given what was going on in their life, and possibly doing something further.
No, I think that's wonderful.
See, can I just mention one thing?
Absolutely.
I want to give an idea as to our expertise, too, as far as, you know, of our 14,000 members. An example is I chair our legislative committee. And on our legislative committee, I can pull, you know, members. So I have one member who is, his name is Jack Nicholas, former state budget officer, former commissioner of Department of Human Services, former commissioner of administration. He's a member of our legislative committee. We also have Peter Edgecombe, who is, he's a former legislator, for 20, 30, I don't know how many years he has in, but I'm able to pull those resources, get them to this legislative committee, give us expertise. I mean, former commissioner. So it's really nice to have that type of expertise, that type of talent in our organization.
We have lawyers. I mean, a number of lawyers in different fields. That one serves on the legislative committee, who was a lawyer for the Bureau of Insurance. It's all over the place, their backgrounds, their histories, and their willingness to help us.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the fact that you have access to these great resources, both access and support for your organization, is probably indicative of the work that you're doing. If you, because you're doing great work, these people are willing to and interested in aligning themselves with your organization. Would you say that the number that you said, we talked about 14,000 members. Are there more people that are not members? And what is that number? What is the number that you need, that, you know, that you're not serving, that you would like to serve?
Well, I think total retired people, I think there's approximately 40,000 that are in the system. So of the 40,000, we have 14,000 of that 40,000. So, you know, if we could get more members, that would be great for us. So there's a potential there, obviously.
Perfect.
And
excellent.
Many of these retirees, because there are several different retiree organizations. For example, the educators have their own organization. It's the MEA Retired, the Union for the State, MSEA, and so forth. And what many of these retirees don't realize is that they can belong to more than one organization. And what we promote with the main association of retirees is that our focus is truly just on retirees. Our focus is not on the active and the retirees combined. It's on just retirees.
We're talking with Tim Leet, president of the Maine Association of Retirees, and Diane Bailey, manager of operations for the Maine Association of Retirees. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO and GM of JobsInME.com, filling in for Dave Chulo. We're going to break, but we'll be right back with more on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner. In store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
Welcome back to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. I'm Saeed Eastman, filling in for Dave Chulo, and we're talking with Tim Leet and Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, on break, we were talking a little bit about COLA because as a son of a federal employee and him telling me at one point that he was grateful for all the cost of living adjustments that occurred under Ronald Reagan. He was the king of COLAs and rewarding federal employees. So my question to you is, how does federal guidelines for COLA with Social Security and federal retirees correlate to the state plans and the bills that you're trying to propose?
Well, as I said, I had approximately 40 years in state government, and human resources for state government, throughout that 40 years, we received information in written format, verbal format, and so forth, that we knew that the retirement we received from the Maine state retirement system was in lieu of Social Security for many people. In Social Security, annually, they look at a cost of living adjustment for the Social Security check pension that you receive. Unlike with what happened with our pension, and it started in 2011, up until that point in time, we were given by the legislature basically a cost of living adjustment each year based upon the national COLA. But it all changed in 2011. As Tim said earlier, the COLA was frozen for 3 years. And we've been trying to get a bill passed through the legislature for several years now to make this COLA a constitutional amendment, so it would have to be considered. I think Tim can talk more to the legislation because he's been very involved in it. Tim?
Yeah, so we want to make, what we want to do is make this a, go into Title V of our illustrious statutes and make this a contractual obligation of the state, which means that it would occur every year. And that gives us protection, and we want it just like Social Security. So Social Security has, they have a COLA every year. We want to be the same way. We want it to occur every year. We want it as a protected status, and that's what we're looking at. And that would help us out as far as, I mean, obviously our members are dealing with inflation, rising costs, copays. I mean, dealing with sickness, health, you know, it's important that they get a COLA every year to go after those things. So,
what is the longest that your members have gone without a COLA?
Well, that's that reform that took place in 2011, the 3 years, that was the longest as far as not get receiving a COLA for 3 years. That made it difficult for a lot of people.
Okay. Do state employees get under different guidelines when they retire and they get cost of living increases, is everybody under the same guidelines of the COLA, that if there is a cost of living adjustment or no cost of living adjustment, as long as they're a state retiree, or is it based on position in the state? How does that work?
It's based on contractual arrangements. For example, the municipal workers, many of them, they've been receiving a COLA all along, because they do have in their language that it's considered on an annual basis. This bill that we're talking about is for state government retirees and educators only, not the municipal, not the majority of the municipal workers.
Well, interestingly, my sister is a teacher, so you're telling me that when my sister retires at some point, and hopefully not soon because she's a great teacher and a great value to the school district she works at, I feel she's underpaid already. And so now when she retires, there's a possibility that given that her pension is going to be a certain percent of her actual current income, she may not get a cost of living adjustment to support her over her years. But knowing that she's a healthy, fit person, the likelihood of her living a long life is pretty solid. And she might not, you know, she may not be able to afford or may have to take on other jobs in the future to support herself. Is that correct?
That is correct. So we have a mechanism designed. So the COLA comes up, usually paid out in September of every year. It's based on CPI, and it's in statute and everything. But if the legislature decides that they want to freeze that COLA, they can do that, and that's what took place in 2011 for 3 years.
Okay. And you know, and to a little bit further about that subject is that many of these retirees do not receive much in the way of a pension. They're trying to live on a very small pension. And we're not talking, when we're talking cost of living increase, huge amounts. We're talking normally anywhere between 2 and 3% on a pension they might be receiving. Well, we know for a fact that about 30% of the retirees live under 133% of the federal poverty level. So we're talking about, you know, a very small pension. And giving them this cost of living adjustment each year, again, we're saying it keeps them from receiving, having to receive other services such as fuel assistance, food assistance, and so forth. They want to be independent. They've worked their entire life, many of these people, servicing the public. And, you know, they should be able to, and they have dignity, and they want to remain independent, and this COLA helps them to do that.
Well, it sounds like it's a great bill and a great initiative, and I'm really happy that we're on the air today talking a little bit about it.
That bill has not, it's submitted to the legislature. It's in the revisor's office right now. It'll be coming out, we expect, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So it's not, it hasn't been given an LD number, so we can't refer to it as LD such and such. So it's going to be coming out soon, and we will put that on our website as to what the LD number is.
But great. So this is perfect. Given the fact that there you have 14,000 members and there's roughly 44,000 main state retirees out there, how can these main retirees get information on that particular effort and initiative? What's the best way for them to get information, both electronically, or how can they get information from you on this particular bill via mail?
Well, once the bill comes out in LD form and we have an LD number, they can call us at 582-1960, or they can go to our website. But once the bill comes out, it'll be given a public hearing. And so we'll want as much support as we can, and we'd really appreciate our members to show up at the public hearing and provide testimony in support of that legislation. So we will make a mass effort to find, you know, to get as many people to testify on that bill as possible. And so that'll be our job.
Yes, and before, the few emails that we do have, the few thousand of the 14, we will send email blast to them, letting them know about the hearing date and so forth. And based upon when this bill is actually given an LD number, we'll be issuing a spring newsletter soon. And that information would be in the spring newsletter also.
Can I just mention also that the title of the bill is An Act to Clarify and Protect Certain Public Service Retirement Benefits. So that is the title of the bill. And the LD number will be coming out soon.
Terrific. Terrific. So given the fact that you just mentioned your website, can you actually tell us what the website is so that your members can go to it?
Certainly. It's MAR. At Maine Retirees, that's all one word, .org.
MAR at Maine Retirees.org.
Correct.
So your website is actually MaineRetirees.org. www.MaineRetirees.org. And if they want, to send requests for information, they can send it to MAR@MaineRetirees.org.
That's exactly. Correct. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you very much for that. You know what? This is educating me a little bit about the state procedure for this. Hopefully, with the current changes in government and current legislature, et cetera, there's a possibility this thing will happen. So during break, we talked a little bit about members. We talked about the fact that some of these members only communicate via regular mail. What initiatives are you doing to try to do a better outreach to your members? I mean, there's 14,000 members. There's 44,000 possible members. How are you going about reaching out to these members, proactively or otherwise?
We have regional meetings. We have 5 different regions in the state. And we have regional meetings in the fall each year. So we reach out to them at these meetings. Then we have an annual meeting, always held in Augusta, usually during the month of May, the latter part of May, where all members and guests are invited to attend. And then we've been working for the last probably 3 years with the Maine Seniors Magazine. This particular magazine, because, you know, it has such a widespread publication, it's in, you know, practically every place that you stop in the state of Maine, any business. We've had a couple of editorials in their articles, and then we run an ad encouraging people to join the organization at least 6 times a year in this magazine. And then, you know, we're always reaching out to people when they call to give us their email address and telling them why, you know, we would like to have their email address. And then we continually use the snail mail process because many of the retirees still, especially the older retirees, do not have access to the website. So they do want a letter, the newsletter in written format and so forth. But communication is an issue. It always has been an issue because out of that 14,000 membership, probably about 50% of them are older retirees who do not use email. And so depending upon the postal service, you know, we're missing, and they're missing, some opportunities to get information to them in a more timely manner.
Okay. So given the fact that we're talking about communication, right, and, you know, in different age brackets of retirees, what's the number of new retirees entering the pool on an annual basis from the state? Is that decreasing because people are working longer knowing the fact that they can't live on their pensions? And so your pool of current retirees is getting older? Or give me a little bit about that piece of your membership.
Now, that's a great question because we have seen, as I said, we get information from the retirement system on a monthly basis. And the number of retirees who are actually retiring is decreasing. And for two reasons that tend to stand out, one of them being they are working longer. The other being that there has been, in the last 8 to 10 years, less people retiring because of working longer, but also less people being hired into the workforce. So the pool of retirees is actually gradually diminishing. So I think those are the two basic reasons why we're seeing less people retiring.
Well, I think the other point is that a lot of people are looking for part-time employment. And so I think it's including myself. I mean, if the right opportunity came up, I'd work, you know, 2 or 3 days a week and just to kind of supplement my income because, you know, everyone's retirement, everyone, you know, saves for retirement, but is it enough? And so it's always nice to have a little cushion or make a little money on the side to supplement your retirement income.
You know, I wholeheartedly agree both kind of subsidizing your income, but also I think that there's also some degree of value to the society to keep every member of our community engaged. You know, I always think of, you know, my father and his engagement in his retirement. He retired at 50. He's at the ripe young age of 89 at this point. He'll be 90 in April. And when he retired, his first thing was to both follow a passion and turn it into a job. But at the same time, that was one way to create income and independence for himself. At the same time, which is something that I see very common in retirees, and you exemplifying it as well in yourselves, which is you're giving back to the communities that you have served for years. You are providing services. In his world, you know, he joined hospital boards. He was part of the library board. He was part of the Maine Historical Society. And I think that this is something that if we continue to value the retirees that are coming out of our state system or any other industry in this state, these retirees will not be heading to Florida because they would be relevant. They will not be, you know, or even if they did go to Florida nowadays, you know, my father, 89, if his email goes down for a minute, he's like, hey, wait a minute, let me call the IT support. So he calls me and says, hey, my email's not working. Can you fix it? Right? Because at 89, he's hooked on technology. The reality of it is this, is even now, retirees can work remotely. They can deal with things on behalf of companies remotely. You can provide benefits support and counseling. You can provide an HR, be an HR generalist for a small company remotely. You don't necessarily need to be physically here. So you can have a little bit of both worlds. In the summertime, you're here. In the springtime, you're here. But in the dead of winter, you know, maybe it might be nice to just go down to Florida for a few months and get that permission. So. Anyhow, I think this is great. You know, I'm really happy to be doing this. So we are talking with Tim Leitz, president of Maine Association of Retirees, and Diane Bailey, manager of operations for Maine Association of Retirees. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO of JobsandME.com, filling in for Dave Chulo. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsandME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
The best paints for the job site are at the Home Depot, specifically new Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer. It starts at only $23.98 a gallon. It's specially formulated to spray easier and cover walls faster. A lot faster. So you're done and on to the next job faster. Better paint means better jobs. New Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. You'll only find it in one place. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loan a Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, get 5.25 ounces of Lucas Complete Field Treatment for $4.99 each, or two for $8. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide, and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Welcome back to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO and GM of JobsInME.com, filling in for Dave Chulo. And we're talking with Tim Leet and Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, I've always been taught there's a few things you're not supposed to talk about. One is religion, the other is politics, and the other is age. You never ask age. So I'm going to ask a silly question, and this hopefully will relate well to everybody. So we are currently looking at candidates for president that are in their 70s. We have a president in office who is in his 70s and eating Big Macs. We also have a governor in the state house who is in her 70s. So if we're putting people that would be considered retirees or retirement age into high power positions, why are we not finding great people in the retirees pool to hire at companies? What are we doing wrong? And are we not reaching out? Are we not communicating with them? And what can we do better to reach out to these Maine retirees?
I think employers need to be more flexible. I mean, we've been mentioning that we've got a wealth of talent in our 14,000 members, but I think employers need to be flexible in getting their, you know, allowing people to work 2 or 3 days a week versus 40 hours and be rigid. And so I see it as a great opportunity right now for our employers to make changes, for all of us to change. And because we have to admit it, our older population, aren't we the oldest state in the nation as far as, and the average median age is 44. So we're getting older. We need to adapt. That's what we need to do.
Well, the aging population in Japan is even older. And I will tell you this, there have been plenty of articles recently written in the Wall Street Journal and by leading educational institutions around the country on how they've been able to leverage the aging population in that country. And for all intents and purposes, we can pretty much replicate a model similar. I think you said something which I think is really critical, which is the shift in how people work. And you said flexibility, and flexibility to me is the gig economy. I only want to work when I need to work. I don't want to work 24/7, okay? And so I think employers are now getting to the point where retirees, if they reached out with a skill set, if they were on a website such as jobsinme.com as an example, sorry, a little plug for my company, and they were able to fill out their skills and credentials and made themselves available and visible to businesses, they would be more able to be reached and communicated to. So, you know, I think it's extremely important for all your retirees to realize that if they don't have a computer accessible, I think most public libraries in any of the towns have access to the internet and have computers available for them, and they should be somehow or another taught how to get an email online and get themselves known. But I genuinely believe that this economy is in such demand for talent that if they're looking for flexibility, that flexibility is there. If they're looking for a gig for a period of time before they, you know, when they're back in Maine from the sunny shores of Florida, that's one thing. But that's something that's available. You know, it's just interesting to me that every time I talk to businesses across the state, and we do this often as part of another effort that I do, talking to business stakeholders, the biggest thing is this, is we have the oldest population in the country, and we have lots of retirees. And my take is this, is, and I'm going to ask you this question, what do you think of the aging population in the state? Do you think it's an advantage or do you think it's a disadvantage?
It's definitely an advantage. If you look at, for example, you know, I've been very active volunteering since I retired, and we're always trying to recruit volunteers. And unfortunately, it's the older, the seniors that are the ones volunteering. If you had to pay all of the people who are volunteering in the state, so economically, they're helping the state immensely by putting in all these volunteer hours in all different areas. And then, you know, and as Tim mentioned earlier, employers could be more flexible, but not just in reducing work hours. There must, I know there are employers out there who have projects, because there are many retirees, as has been mentioned earlier in the show, that do go, you know, to a warmer climate during the winter months or whatever. But if there's a project they can work on for 2 or 3 months, they will be more than willing to work on that project and hopefully make a little bit of pocket change to help with their pension.
Great. We're talking with Tim Leitz and Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO and GM of JobsandEmmy.com, filling in for Dave Chulo. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsandME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
Welcome back to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. I'm Saeed Eastman, filling in for Dave Chulo, and we're talking with Tim Leitz and Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, we are in the last stretch of this conversation, and so at this point, I really want to just have you tell us how companies that are interested in the Maine Association of Retirees can reach out to you and get involved in supporting your initiatives and also do an outreach to your members.
They can certainly call us. The number is 207-582-1960. They can reach out to us on our website through email, and both of those are mar@mainretirees.org. Also, reaching out to us, the information provided to us from the retirement system is considered confidential, so we don't let entities know whether Joe Smith is a member of MAR or not, but if they reach out to us, we would be more than happy to try to reach some of these retirees. For example, if there was a business in Southern Maine, we could certainly reach out to some of the retirees in that area on the positions that are available.
Excellent. So, you know, I think one of the things that I want to ask, and I'm hoping you can help me, because I always think of people think of retirees differently than they think of regular job seekers or employers. So what myths can you dispel about retirees that people, you know, have a preconceived notion? Is it a lazy boy in a Cadillac? Or tell me a little bit more about what you think people, the misconceptions they have of retirees.
I'd like to just mention that retirees are not lazy. Think of all the talent that is out there as far as, you know, we've got retired teachers, educators. We've got state workers, former commissioners, people that have held great positions in state government. We have municipal employees, members of PLDs, participating local districts. We've got former governors, legislators, state troopers. We have judges. You know, so we have a whole array of people that are just so talented. And so we see this as it's an opportunity more than anything. And that's what it is.
And we're finding that, you know, the majority of retirees, when you hire a retiree, you're getting dependability. You're getting the work experience. They're energized. They want to be part of. They want to socialize. They want to continue that socialization. So you're hiring someone that has a well-documented work history.
Excellent. You know, offering all the great services that you offer your members, I'm guessing that the cost to become a member is extremely high. What is the cost to become a member of MAR?
Okay, the cost to become a member of MAR, it's roughly $2 per month or $25 for the year. We think that's a tremendous bargain to be able to be a member of MAR and pay such a little amount.
I just want you to know I had to travel last week and I parked at Logan. It was $35 a day. So I think your membership fees are a bargain of the century.
Thank you.
So we are talking with Tim Leet, Diane Bailey from the Maine Association of Retirees. I thank you both for coming and being on the show. And if you get an opportunity to want to learn more about what they do, go to www.maineassociationofretirees.org. I'm Saeed Eastman, CEO and GM of JobsandME.com, and you've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com.
And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Doug Currier from Veral Dana. One of the worst communication faux pas in any relationship is when one person expresses their frustrations and the other person responds by saying, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. And that is also true when an employee is speaking with his or her manager. Denying someone the right to have their own feelings leaves them feeling rejected and unheard, which in turn undermines the strength of the relationship. When an employee comes to you with a complaint, resist the urge to tell them why they are wrong. Instead, make them feel heard and then think through the best way to have a discussion, which perhaps should happen later, about why things are the way that they are. For example, acknowledge to the employee how you can understand how that would be frustrating and ask them what they suggest, and then indicate that you want to think about it and then meet later to discuss it. But then make sure you do meet again to discuss it. It's extremely important. For more information about this and any other labor and employment law topic, please contact a member of Veral and Dana's Labor and Employment Law Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.